1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Now, this was especially true for those who are persecuting the churches to whom the Apostle Peter was particularly writing at the time. Because he was writing to Christians who had come out of a Jewish background, and they were being persecuted by the Judaizers. And certainly, the scripture itself talks about the destruction of Jerusalem as an apocalyptic moment, an apocalyptic destruction. But the end of all things is at hand is also perpetually true for the persecutors of the church and those who are wicked in every age. They may seem for a time to prosper, just as the evil man whom Asaph was envying for the first half of Psalm 73. But what did holy Asaph see when he went to the worship of God? Psalm 73, beginning in verse 17, he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment." So Asaph went to worship, and he saw the end of the wicked, and how it would come all at once, as in a moment. But he also saw his own end. He says, starting in verse 23 of that psalm, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And so it is with the unpredictable end of our persecutors. The end, their end, is at hand, whether they see it or not. And in fact, we do not know how much time we have. Our end is at hand. And if our end is to be received into glory by the one who has guided us by his counsel, then seeing it as at hand, having that heart of wisdom to number our days, that changes our perspective. When we see that the end of all things is at hand for the wicked and for ourselves, and indeed that the return of our Lord itself is unpredictable, it ought to deflate our envy of the wicked or our fear of them. It ought to reorient our values away from where thieves break in and steal, and where moth and rust destroy. And so the apostle says, "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious." It moves us to seriousness. But it also moves us to something else, which is why we're studying it as a prayer devotional. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Whenever a believer learns from Scripture about God's intent to do something, he is to pray according to that Scripture. This is what it means to pray according to the will of God. What is praying according to the will of God except to pray according to the Word of God? It ought to be one of the habits of believers to be meditating upon God's Word and continually turning that meditation over to prayer. As we see something God says He will do, we watch for it and wait for it in prayer, because God has said that He acts by means of prayer and in response to prayer. And so you're reading or remembering a scripture and you see something that God says He's going to do, and you say, "Lord, Your Word says You have willed this. Now, please give what You have willed." Is this not what we say when we say, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? So, if the end of all things is at hand and particular way that statement appears in this letter, which deals much with those who are persecuted. We are to be praying for an end to persecution, for we know that the Lord has willed this. And we say, yes, Lord, give what you have willed. And we are to be praying for our own perfection in holiness and our sanctification unto that end. For we know that at the last, at our end, we will have been made holy. We are to be praying that we might pass into glory. Lord, grant that to me to live would be Christ, and then grant to me that I would also gain. And we are to be praying for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit who intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, because we do not know how to pray for what we ought. Is he not the one who trains the bride, and together with her, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And if we are praying continually for an end to persecution, that we might be sanctified, that we might find it gain to enter glory, that we might be with Jesus where he is, to see the glory that he has with the Father from before the world began, that the Lord Jesus himself would return, then we ought to be continually serving the Lord and his people, and also our neighbors, and being good children of our Father. In short, if we are praying for the Master's return, we should be living like those who want to be caught the way we are living when the Master returns. Therefore, let us not give lie to such prayers as we are being taught in this passage by becoming passive or lazy, but rather let us join together these two in our life that the Apostle joins together in this verse. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. As he goes on to say in the next four verses, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is what it is to be serious. Let us not just be serious, but also watchful in our prayers.